co-owner and arts and entertainment director of Bloomington's LGBTQ-friendly nightclub, The Back Door, Nikki B. found her home here when she was embraced by this town's queer community. In today's changing political climate for queer folks, Nikki hopes to provide a safe, comfortable place for people of all gender and sexuality nonconformance. With business partner Smoove G., she runs what might be Bloomington's premier home away from home for people of countless outsider descriptions. Nikki B. joins Michael Glab in this week's edition of Big Talk.
Hi, this is Big Talk, Big Mike here. My guest today, Nikki B. She's the co-owner and arts and entertainment director of The Back Door. Now, that's Bloomington's LGBTQ-friendly nightclub and bar. Thanks for coming in, Nikki.
Thanks for having me, Big Mike.
You know, it's been 48 years since Stonewall. Do today's lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, and all the rest kids even know what Stonewall was?
This new generation of actual, like, kids, like high school kids, know a lot about queer history and are light years ahead of where I was 20 years ago when I was in high school. But as far as like the generation that's in college right now, it's really hit or miss as well as far as if people know their history or not. Some of them like really do. And there's a huge activist faction that are part of the bar. And then there's some people that are blissfully oblivious to the struggles that our people have been through over the past 50 years and before. But I think that movie, that terrible movie Stonewall that came out a year or two ago, really pushed the conversation because a lot of people, including some older folks that I know, like much older folks that I know, were like, finally, our story is coming out. And I'm like, this is not your story.
Wow.
I was like, it's a whitewashed version of what happened there. And so that kind of really, really pushed the conversation and made everybody investigate and interrogate what that action was, how long it took, who was involved, which, for folks that don't know, was credited with being incited by two trans women of color, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. There's a number of other people involved, of course. But yeah, so sometimes, you know, terrible pop culture can also kind of incite the riot in new ways.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, can a person run a queer nightclub and not be political?
Well, I think choosing not to be political when your identity is politicized is a political statement. It's complacency, which is really dangerous, I think. It really leads to marginalization of folks within your community and reinforces power structures, patriarchal power structures, authoritarian power structures that are already in place. That people think, oh, it's a safe space. And then it's like, no, who is it a safe space for? Because if you aren't being political, you are ostracizing someone. You have to have radical inclusivity in this day and age. Otherwise, somebody's going to get thrown under the bus.
Wow. Now, I discovered from Fox 59 News this factoid. Bloomington has the fifth largest population per capita of same-sex households in the nation. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No.
Didn't know that.
Fifth largest.
Okay. Is this a queer-friendly town?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I forget that, actually, until I travel pretty much anywhere and forget, like, that I can walk down the street with my girlfriend and hold hands and smooch in public and talk about queer things in public and people don't really bat an eye, whereas anywhere else I go, including when I go home to Atlanta, it feels different.
But Atlanta is the queer center of the South.
It's still the South.
Well, that says something,
yeah.
Right,
I mean,
there.
And, you know, like, I mean, like any major city, like, you're going to have your pockets where you don't have to worry as much. But I think as far as, like, having an entire town that is kind of down with the cause, and that isn't to say that we don't have bigots here. We certainly do. But it is a place where I forget how easy I can breathe.
Today, in March 2017, in Bloomington, on the street, if you want to kiss your girlfriend,
I wouldn't think anything of it.
Not a thing?
Not a thing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think people, anyone with a marginalized identity always has the corner of their eye. You know, the peripheral vision is always going on to for somebody. You know, you wait for that energy to come around the corner that makes you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this right now. But that happens much less here than it does anywhere else.
Now, how important is it for a young college student, perhaps from a more restrictive small town, to come to school here in Bloomington and find a place like yours where she or he can find other people who've grappled with identity and orientation? How important is that?
Oh, it's paramount. The only thing that I regret is that, because we serve alcohol in the state of Indiana, that we can only cater to folks 21 and over.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've got Rhinos, which is a great resource, and Prism Youth Community, which is those young people are brilliant. I really miss like Rachel's Cafe or like, you know, we need, I think, especially right now and with just how kind of scary everything is that we need community spaces that aren't necessarily focused around alcohol, because that's also a real slippery slope, you know?
Yeah.
I think everybody in the industry kind of struggles with it. And even just when your scene is constantly about partying and booze, like that can be really fun, but that can also be really limiting and turn into problems for folks. But the actual like having community and having a place that you can come and not only be exposed to people that are like you, but people that are maybe not quite like you, but still have a identity that they're struggling with, and also be exposed to art is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Now let's look at this from a historical perspective. Is the climate today in the streets, in the bars, in the workplace, is it changing for the worse for LGBTQ people? Do you think it's worse?
Clarify that for me.
Well, I mean, is it harder to kiss your loved one? Is it harder to walk down the street and be obviously in your face gay, lesbian, trans, what have you?
Oh, I think that's entirely dependent on where you are and the people that are around you. You know, I mean, in Bloomington, Bloomington has not been inoculated to bigotry and prejudice. I've had a lot of people that work with the bar or that are regulars of ours tell me either, you know, personally or I've seen on Facebook that, you know, they've had slurs thrown at them out windows recently on campus and downtown, and
more than maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, sure. People, bigots have really, really been enacted. Have been what's the word I'm looking for? Given the green light as far as letting their crap opinions loose into the world, and have seen a president who has said that hating people and saying awful things is will go without punishment. And
it ain't going to stop you from being the president.
And that's so dangerous.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Nikki B., co-owner and entertainment director, arts and entertainment director of The Back Door. Thanks for joining us on Big Talk today.
Thanks for having me, Big Mike.